Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, award-winning author and founder of Conscious Stories, Andrew Newman.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Amber Arab and Bill Rotella. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to this conversation today for many, many reasons. It actually, as I was getting ready to prepare myself for this show all week, actually, it helped me learn something I've been trying to learn for a long time. It's interesting because a lot of people talk about, being in the moment, or here's one that I've been working with trying to figure out. Let me see. It's what you focus on expands. And I've never had anyone really explain that to me in a way that I understood, because what it is what it is kind of what I figured. But I was willing to accept that it expands, and I thought, okay, well, maybe I understand it better if I focus on it. And then this week, this happened. So let me first share with you, a while back, many, many, many years ago, my dad, who came here from Italy, was born in Italy, raised in Italy. He was very much an Italian and very proud to be an Italian. And later on, he became also proud to be an American. But while he was in America and he shared his language of Italian language with his children, me in particular, actually, he would say, you see this American word? This is actually an Italian word. And you see this American word, this is actually a derived from the Italian word. And you see this American word. So basically, when the conversation started like that, I knew where he was going, is that the word was actually Italian. Well, this week, I wandered into a business to do business with the people in this office. And when I walked in there, I noticed an older gentleman who, come to find out, came from Armenia. And he's very much a proud American, but a proud Armenian who came from Armenia. And we got into conversation. And as you might guess, this was his conversation. He said to me, I don't know, I must have written on my forehead, or energetically, I'm like walking around and saying, help me write a great monologue, because this man said to me, do you know this American word? That is an Armenian word. And do you know this American word? That word, it derives from an Armenian word. He says, you already speak Armenian, because that word and this word and this word and that word that are all in the English language are all Armenian words. And as I walked away from that conversation, I thought, what we focus on expands. The English language is the same English language that he used, that my father used. But my father's focus was on the Italian words that were in the English language. This man's focus was on the Armenian words that was in the English language. It was still the English language, but my father's focus was different from this man's focus. And so this man is seeing and finding and will find even more Armenian words in the English language as he learns the English language better. And as my father learned the English language better, he found even more words that were derived from Italian words. And I felt I understood ever so much more that what we focus on expands. If we're looking for Italian words, we're going to find them. If we're looking for Armenian words, we're going to find them. If we're looking for negativity, we're going to find it. If we're looking for positivity, we're going to find it. And the more we look at it, the more we'll find. it's all maybe already there, but we're going to see something that we didn't see there before, and maybe nobody else sees if we focus on that. That's what I learned. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, this is brilliant, because today we're going to be talking about conscious parenting through conscious stories. So what are the stories that we are telling our children, and how is their mind expanding based on these stories? And is it for the good, or maybe there are better ways, better things to think about, better things to focus on? Can't wait to be having that conversation with our guest when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and sitting here with me is Mark Lejeune and actually our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue. And interestingly enough, in the past, we've been accused of our show not being live. And interestingly enough, our show is not only live, but as happens, here is proof, our guest is stuck in L.A. traffic and has not arrived yet. So we're going to switch things around a little bit so that we could get our story with our guest in as soon as he arrives. And in the meantime, we're going to go to our Ask Dorothy. But before that, why don't we do the shout-outs now, Mark?
We do have a shout-out, and we want to bring some attention and some love to Debbie Love, who is with Heads Up Karate and Self-Defense for Women. Debbie is a women's empowerment coach and expert and an advocate for women's safety. She's a fourth-degree black belt and a certified instructor. Heads Up is offering a series of self-defense classes this summer for young women heading off to college campuses in the fall. Classes are also suitable for high school girls as well. Check out headsupselfdefense.com.
And Mark, I should probably say that the reason we're accused of our show not being live is because the music sounds so good, and that's such a big thank you while we're doing shout-outs.
Oh, we've had, I don't know how many times where people have said, that can't be live. That yeah, really sounds so amazing. So shout-out, another shout-out to Brent Hahn,
indeed.
Studio NoHo, and also Radioactive Commercials. Dorothy. My name is Samantha from Miami, and I hate the way my mother treats me. She talks to me like I am still 3 years old and is constantly making me feel bad. I have two grown children, and we have a good relationship, and I would never, ever talk to them the way that she talks to me. How do I get her to stop? She upsets me so much that I don't even want to answer the phone when I see it is that it is her calling me.
Oh, Samantha, this is truly not an unusual situation, and one that I experienced until I was 63 years old, when I finally told my mother that I would no longer engage in conversations that consisted of her telling me how bad I was. I told her that I loved her, but I loved me more, and if she wanted to have a good conversation with me about things that matter, to feel free to call any time. She never said anything bad to me again. Samantha, when we hold hate, resentment, guilt, anger, or blame towards others, we've given them power over us. These are also the emotions that make us ill. So I urge you to take full responsibility for your having participated in this situation and to choose now to set yourself free. We humans are taught to be victims and to justify our anger, but it does not serve us to do so. A part of me just wanted to never speak to my mom again. My life coach told me I needed to forgive her, but to first forgive myself for ever believing the horrible things she said to and about me. So I took my power back by first forgiving me for participating in this drama, and then I forgave her, and I set myself free. And Samantha, If Mom hadn't agreed to have only mutually beneficial conversations, I simply would have chosen not to have answered the phone. So I highly recommend a great book that helped me with this. It is Forgiveness, A Bold Choice for a Peaceful Heart by Robin Kasarjian. I believe it will help you find peace within you and help you change your reactionship into relationship, just as it helped me.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Thank you, Dorothy, indeed. And we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeur, and I am so looking forward to the conversation with Andrew Newman, our guest, who should be arriving shortly, and a little later on, live music here in the studio with Amber Olive and Bill Rotella, together as the dynamic duo Amber and Smoke. So, Mark, we were talking about what we focus on expands.
And that story with your father, you know, reminds me or made me really kind of consider so many moments with my own son. And things that went well and what we were focusing on, and things that were more challenging in what we were focusing on, and what expanded. There's a direct correlation. And it reminded me of that story I had told on one other show, but I think it was worth repeating, when he kind of flipped the script and gave me some of my wisdom back when I was having a really off day. And I was focusing on the wrong things, and they were expanding. And he said, "Dad, but you said we can change our emotions at any moment. So why don't we change them now?" And I said, "Great idea." We started focusing on something else.
And that reminds me, I gave him a gift once where it was a noisemaker or something. It made noise. And so you had had a really busy, hard day, and then you and he were in the car, and he started making noise with the noise thing. So you jokingly called me and left me a message saying, "Hey, Filippo, thanks a lot. You know, that this is exactly what I needed with a headache."
Oh, it was perfect. You know, my nerves are right on calm, and then pop, pop, pop. I was like, that's a perfect gift for the perfect time.
Well, the funny thing is that I guess he must have asked you to call me back, because he left me a message then saying, what my dad means to say is, it was a perfect gift. Thank you. You're right on track," or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, he got the biggest kick out of that, and my reactions as well.
Talking about flipping the script, right?
Exactly.
So actually, Talking about flipping the script, this is something that I was going to share later, and it will come up. But I posted on Facebook today, and you know what? Actually, maybe I'll just read it, because if you're not following me on Facebook and you'd like to, Filippo Voltaggio is where you could follow me, and just Filippo Voltaggio, VOLTAGGIO.com. And funny, I have to scroll now through so many things because it happens to be my birthday and so many wonderful people are wishing me a happy birthday. So thank you all wishing me a happy birthday. Actually, tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Filippo.
This is the eve of my birthday. And so we've been celebrating and what a wonderful time we're having. And this show is a celebration. So here's what I wrote on Facebook, and it pertains to our musical guest tonight. I was going to read this a little later, but here we go. Many years ago, a man who had written songs for and recorded by Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Doris Day, Rosemary Clooney, Tony Bennett, and the like, and whose songs were featured in such classic films as That's My Boy, Hope Springs, and Jersey Boys, invited me to his home to record one of his songs on my next album. He was Johnny Rotella, and he told me that he had written another song for Dean Martin, and that Dean had liked it and wanted to record it on his next album. But Dean died before that happened. I was flattered and humbled at the same time, and since I liked the song, I was going to put it on my third CD of Italian songs. I stayed in touch with Johnny over the years, and at a youthful 93 years, Johnny left us, and I never ended up recording a third CD of Italian songs. So fast forward a couple decades, and a friend, Cleet Keith, shares the music of a certain Bill Rotella on Facebook. The name caught my eye, and out of curiosity, I wrote Bill on Facebook and sent him my phone number just in case. Bill called me right away and told me that he is indeed the son of Johnny Rotella. Tonight, I am honored to be hosting our musical guest on our show, The Life Changes Show, one of Johnny Rotella's sons, Bill. If you hear his songs, happily, you will hear that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. And I brought that song with me, and when we take pictures together a little later on, and we're going to post them, I'm going to be holding that song that his father gave to me. So that's the story I was going to share as introduction to our musical duo, Amber and Smoke, with Bill Rotella and Amber Olive. But thankfully, joining us in the studio is our guest, and he has come in with all his, wow, wonderful books. I can't wait to look at them in just a moment here. But by way of introduction, as you know, we've titled the show Conscious Parenting Through Conscious Stories with our guest, award-winning author and founder of Conscious Stories, Andrew Newman. Welcome, Andrew, to the show.
Great pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here, and I'm glad you made it. and boy, you didn't waste time here. The Trees of Goodness, The Boy Who Searched for Silence, The Laughing Witch, let's see, The Elephant Who Tried to Tiptoe. This is deep. What are we looking at?
Well, we're looking at a collection of bedtime stories that have been specially designed to help parents connect with their children in the last 20 minutes of the day. I feel that it's such an exciting transitional time.
You mean that the transitional time is specifically those last 20 minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, what was happening during that time?
You know, there's so much narrative around the first 20 minutes of the day for grown-ups, how we wake up, what we do with, our morning practices.
True.
But very little spoken about the last 20 minutes of the day. And as I got into the healing space and started looking at the formation of trauma, how it solidifies in our body, I got very interested in the role of sleep versus the role of being awake. And our brain does all sorts of things when we're sleeping, and we can set it up for doing the right things so that we integrate our day and we feel calmer. And for our little ones, thematically, I would say my desire is for them to feel safe to be themselves, for them to know that they have a place and that they belong, and to not have to question whether or not they're loved.
Wow. Did you grow up with something happening that was good the last few minutes of the day, or you wanted, was it for you?
You know, when I was 5 years old, I came face to face with death for the first time.
Wow.
It happened watching a television program. But being a rambunctious five-year-old, I was totally identified with the characters in the movie. My parents were out for the night. I was definitely not going to listen to the babysitter. And I stayed up too late. I watched something that wasn't age appropriate. And I was very identified with the heroic character, but unfortunately there was a powerful death scene in the movie, and it came right through me, and it really shook my foundation as a very young kid going, wow. And I couldn't tell anybody about it because I shouldn't have been up. I was breaking all the rules.
The perfect storm.
The processing was done very much alone. It set up for me a repetitive anxiety that happened every night. Mm. And then, of course, being as how life moved on, I didn't realize that it was still with me.
Wow.
And well into my 30s, when I was doing my own personal training as a healer and doing my own healing work, I started to pay attention to this time again, because I noticed that there was a certain dissonance as an adult that, you know, if I managed to go to sleep more mindfully, I noticed I slept better, and I noticed that I woke up feeling much more at ease within myself.
Wow! When did you notice that?
No, I mean this has been a core focus of mine for 7 or 8 years now.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow. So that set a course for your life. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much of a course it was setting. I mean, I had no idea I was going to be a kid's author. Yeah, just when you asked that question, yeah.
I was wondering, why am I asking this question? Yeah. I can't help but look over here at this beautiful display that you have of all your books. So I'm just gonna pick one while you're talking and browse through it, because I'm very curious. But what just in general, is there a main theme that these are focused on?
Well, thematically, I'm working with that sense of safety and the belonging to be oneself. Each book's got its own core message. How Diablo Became Spirit is showing children how to connect with animals and respect all living beings. The Boy Who Searched for Silence, helping children to find silence within themselves. Now, parents might not believe me that kids love silence, but I go into schools and I do school visits, and the classrooms drop into the most beautiful silence. We all just kind of hang out there. And this story really helps that process. All of the books have got a little breathing practice at the start that I call the snuggle breathing meditation. Four simple breaths, which are breathing for me, for you, for us, and for all that surrounds us. So it gives us our place and our context.
Brilliant.
Wow.
And then there's also a little activity page, some reflection questions at the end of the story. You know, one of the things I say to parents is be, if you can, it's an oxymoron, be ready for surprise. At bedtime, when you're putting the little ones to sleep, there's something that changes in the parenting posture. You're no longer front to front in kind of a controlled instructional mode, which is, you know, brush your teeth, put your pajamas on, have a bath. But they actually, you come alongside your little one, and you end up side by side as you enter the mystery of story. And that companionship and that camaraderie that happens because of that seems to open some space through which sharing and curiosity and questions happen. So if parents can be ready for that surprise and not be holding an agenda which says the lights need to be out because the lights need to be out, We'd rather have the quality of connection happening between them and their little ones at that time.
When did you realize you had this connection? Because I see that schools have written about you, like heads of schools have said things like Andrew's ability to connect deeply with our children, to engage in their ideas and create amazing stories, inspired all of us. How did you find that connection?
It's truly been unfolding in me. It's been something that I've learned to trust my own creativity. And so when the first book was literally me writing a poem and going, oh, it needs some pictures. Mm. And I knew someone who could do it. And I trusted that creative impulse in myself and I just did it. The first four books pretty much happened like that. Mm. I had no idea that it was going to be a collection, that the collection was going to be as focused as it is now around serving those last 20 minutes of the day. Mm. But at the same time, this understanding has been coming in my therapeutic work where I've been coaching people, not only parents, but done a lot of men's work over the years. And everybody's been dealing with an issue that started before they were 6 years old. Mm. So I thought, well, let's go back. Let's serve a society, humanity at the level that I can make the most impact as my personal healership expresses itself in this way. To say, well, I like writing stories. I see the world in pictures. I think there's a need here.
Oh yeah. Well, actually. I'm looking forward to the collection of at least 12 for adults. When are you going to do that?
Well, it's funny you ask that. People say to me, what ages are these books for? And I say 3 to 85.
Yes.
Right. I've been invited to the University of Southern Indiana to meet with their business students and read them stories because one of the lecturers picked up my books and she started reading them to the class and they asked for more.
That's perfect because I keep trying to tell Filippo that there is no such thing as an adult. We're actually all kids.
Right.
Well, the kid in me picked, of all the books, how many are there, 12?
There's 12.
12 so far, at least?
So far, yep, quite right, more coming.
Because at first you thought there were four, but there were 12, and who knows. So The Fish Who Searched for Water, that feels so deep to me. Tell me what happens here.
Well, the fish in the story... thinks he's not happy where he is.
Aha.
So he goes on this quest. Yes. Really, he's looking for happiness. He's also looking for love. Mm-hmm. And
he's surrounded by it, right?
He's totally surrounded by it. That's right.
Yes.
I have lots of fun with the little kids because I often wear a cap and I'm like, where's my hat? I can't find it. I can't find it. Of course, it's on my head. And it's a simple, playful metaphor. But at a certain point in life, I think it's pretty normal that we go looking for love. And we forget temporarily that we are surrounded by love already. Mm. And so this story is just that simple reminder that it's right here. In fact, I'm made of it.
Yeah, it ends like this. I don't need to struggle, says the fish, or quest or breathe air to experience water. It's already there. Oh, man. You don't have kids of your own. Right?
No, these are my babies.
Well, I was about to say. So, what do you think you're connecting with? Are you connecting with your inner child? Are you? I mean, because this is they just so hit home. I feel that.
Definitely. I'm not going to adult if I can avoid it.
I'll never grow up.
at all counts. I want to stay playful and youthful. Why wouldn't I? I got very serious. My dad was a serious man. He had a great sense of humor, but he was also, he was also pretty serious. And, like any son who wants to be like his dad, I tried that on for a season, and it really didn't fit me.
Might not have even fit your father.
No, true story, right?
Right.
Yeah, true story. But he was a man of his era. He picked up the responsibilities of running a family business when nobody else could. And when I chose not to run the family business, that was my big turning point. It was saying, hold on, who am I if I'm not going to be a jeweler? A jeweler, yes.
Oh, wow.
South African jeweler, right?
Oh.
and I really got to ask the question of not what do I want to do, but how do I want to be? And this was something that I hadn't considered. And so my 30s were spent kind of working that out, healing schools and personal development training and finding my way. And I credit that for my creativity. At 30, I didn't identify as being creative at all. Mm. Here I am just over a decade later with a collection of bedtime stories. So,
well, I would argue the point that potentially each one of these is a jewel. You've continued being a jeweler. Well, we're going to learn more about Andrew when we come back. In the meantime, you can go to consciousbedtimestories.com to learn about more about Andrew and the Conscious Stories and get the books. As a matter of fact, a little later on, we're going to give a discount code, or Andrew will, so you can get 15% off of any books that you order with that discount code. We'll be right back with Andrew, and a little later on, live here in the studio, Amber and Smoke, the dynamic duo made of Bill Rotella and Amber Olive, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Andrew Newman, and we're talking about conscious bedtime stories. Andrew, I picked out the fish who searched for water. That spoke to me, and that message was certainly something I needed to hear. If you read a Facebook post I posted about my birthday, that's the message, actually. So potentially one could lay out all 12 and have the child pick out.
The kids will do that. They will choose a favorite,
right?
And but that favorite keeps moving. The thing about the stories is that they'll layer over age, and I even for me, I come back and read my own story and go, wow, I didn't realize that, and I didn't see something that the illustrator put in. So
yeah,
you know, we have a range of different illustrators, but
do you have a favorite?
I got to chime in on the illustrations. They are unbelievable. Yeah. The amount of symbology and the layering and the subtleties and the beauty, it's really bar none. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they're works of art. Well done. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite is The Hug Who Got Stuck.
That's the one that Mark had just picked up.
I mean, do you know where hugs are made?
No.
I think you might. It's actually in the heart.
Oh.
But there's a hug factory in the heart, and you've got to see this hug factory because it's got the most amazing flows and movements and little hugs. And the thing about hugs is they really just want to deliver their special love and care, but sometimes they get caught in the web of sticky thoughts. So now this is the territory of negative self-beliefs that we've made visual through this web of sticky thoughts that can trap a hug, and thoughts like nobody loves me, I'm not good enough. The little kids come along and they say nobody wants to play with me, they're mad at me, and of course the hug goes into this. There's quite a strong descent into the hero's journey in this story, and in that, there's implanted the in a way, the healing response or the remedy for the reader, so that they can learn something about a situation they may not yet have faced in their life, and they're going to come right out the other side. The hug's actually going to teach them something. And then as a parent, your grandparent, you can come along and say, oh, sweetie, have you got a stuck hug? And there's a hug meter at the back of that book. You get to count how many hugs you had in your day. And of course, that to me is just going, helps me go to sleep with a full heart every time I read that story.
Oh, wow. You know, I asked Mark to hand it to me because I wanted to look at it. And as you were talking, I turned to page 32. May I?
Please.
The hug sighed helplessly. It stopped wriggling, stopped squirming, and stopped fighting. In that moment, something magical happened. As it stopped wriggling, it breathed in love and glowed brighter. As it stopped squirming, it remembered the heart it was made for. As it stopped fighting, it slipped right past the web of sticky thoughts. And the next page, it shows a really happy hug, illustrated beautifully, and it says, free.
Free.
Free. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, more power to you. One of the things that's fascinating is that you are focused on being able to share this information, not only in a special way, but during a special time, and that's the last 20 minutes. So
right.
One of the things you say is that parents could be part of the ending of the day with the child. You also say that they could also breathe together. Mm-hmm. What else can parents do during that time?
Well, the reason for the breathing is that that paired breathing is the fastest way to create connection. And there's some things that can be influenced and some things that can't be influenced. You have some influence over how your child is doing. Have they had too much sugar? Are they too tired? Did you get the right window as to when they're going to sleep? Mm. You've got your first thing you have influence over as an adult is yourself. What are you? How are you arriving to this transition point? Have you got your centered position, or are you harried or rushed or distracted? Because that will only convey over to them.
Mm.
You get to affect the atmosphere, which is what's on in the room, what's the television, how well, you know, is it noisy, is there radio, what are the distractions, is it clean? And the last thing you get to influence is also the content. These principles apply regardless of the story you're reading, but these particular stories specifically shaped to help the end of day transition.
Parents are tired usually at the end of day.
Right.
And as I was thinking that, actually, you saw me just reach over and I picked up the book, The Dad Who Didn't Know.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking of tired parents. And I open up to page 26, and I wonder if you would share.
Mm. So, luckily his daughter knew where to find enthusiasm when she was tired. It was in a movement and dance. His wife knew where to find softness when she was hurting. She prayed and read. His son knew all about dreams and how they turned into reality. He watched nature do it every day. The prayers, dance, and nature surrounded the dad as he wriggled and squirmed. Magically, a little light flickered in the dad's inside world.
And a little light flickering inside me right now. Thank you. That, you know, it's interesting. This is a big deal because the Lyceum Montessori in Denver says this about you. We bring speakers into our preschool every other month, and Andrew was such a favorite that we've invited him back multiple times.
We had so much fun with their little ones. You know, there's a four-year-old in that school who, when I read The Boy Who searched for silence, and she, you know, halfway through that story, he's looking at the bottom of the garden for silence, and she's putting her hand up, waving it around frantically, going, "It's inside him, it's inside him." And it's amazing that a four-year-old understands that silence is inside. And I'm like, wow, thank you. Such a good moment.
Awesome. Oh, that's interesting. And I was thinking, you know, I've read something and you've read something, Mark. I wonder if you would read what actually Andrew was just saying.
The boy felt like he was falling inwards. He was too tired to be scared, so he fell. He was too helpless to think better, so he fell. He was enjoying the familiar feeling, so he fell. He fell right into silence.
This is it. This is silence happening. It's kind of, it just happens.
That was beautiful. Thank you. You're not supposed to have silence on radio.
I know,
for
right?
some reason, that seemed to work. Andrew, you rushed right in, and we hit the ground running and happily. So we could talk about this for hours, I'm sure, and would love to talk some more about it. In the meantime, people can get the book at consciousbedtimestories.com. And and if people put in "life changes" all in caps and the number 15, just one word, "life changes 15, the number 15, all in caps, then they can get 15% discount on the books at your website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for doing that.
There's a book of the month offering as well for the families that would like the full collection and coloring in books and little reminder magnets. And so it's like a subscription club. And that's just another way that families can engage.
Also, I have some ideas of how we can bring these visuals to life and do much more with you in the future. So we're going to have to explore that and talk further.
Well, good. Then there'll be more. In the meantime, thank you so much, Andrew. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Philippe. Pleasure, Mark.
Thank you for being
here. Stay with us. We're going to have live music here in the studio with our musical guests, Amber and Smoke, right after this on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Andrew Newman. And joining us in the studio, he is a solo artist with 9 albums to his name, and he's worked with several bands. And now he's come to us with Amber and Smoke, one of his new bands. We welcome to the show Bill Rotella. And then as part of Amber and Smoke, we have Amber Olive, who's a singer and I think a softball player.
Former softball player.
A former softball player.
Do more singing than softball nowadays.
Wow, can you hear that voice? Wow, can you just talk for a while?
Yeah. Yes, let me just talk just a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard the whole album, Amber and Smoke, and I love it. Actually, it's called Amber and Smoke, Riverbound. I've heard it all. I love every song in there, actually. But, you know, I'm thinking there could be one where you just talk, Amber. You just talk. And Bill, I got to share towards the beginning of the show about how you and I came together thanks to your dad.
Yeah, man.
And then Cleet. That touched us all, actually.
The story of my pop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's the real deal, you know. People talk about some of the influences, you know, and he recorded in that era out here in L.A. where, you know, all the Wrecking Crew, all those guys,
right,
and all that music.
Yeah.
To be a part of that, this studio, actually. I want to hear the history of the studio.
Yeah, right?
There's something going on in the studio. This is like...
There is.
It's pretty cool, man.
Well, you know, and actually, and then when you and I were talking on the phone, and then I had also... connected with your mom as well, and then come to find out there are a whole bunch of you, actually, brothers and sisters, and we're
Italian, you know. Come on. Of course, there's a lot of us.
And you're all musical, right?
Yeah. Well, we're all musical. Not all of us do it, you know, as a profession or professionally or record, but all of us have music in us.
Yeah. I was going to say we should give a shout out, but actually one of your brother's companies is called Chow, right?
Yeah, he works for the record company. Yeah.
Well, a lot of fun. Well, let's start out right away with a song, and I really have heard, and I do love the album. What are you going to play first?
I think we're going to do Amber and Smoke.
Okay, yeah. The title song. Okay, and Amber obviously is named Amber. Are you Smoke?
That's a pretty good deduction right there, man.
Smoke show right there.
Process of elimination. But by hearing her voice, she could be
smoky voice.
She could be smoky.
Okay, well, I just, all right.
It's a curveball. Okay.
Well, you know what they say is, I'm looking for the fire, because you know what they say.
Oh, that's right.
All right. If you don't know what they say, where there's fire, there's smoke. And so here is, live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show, Bill Rotella and Amber Olive as Amber and Smoke, performing Amber and Smoke.
Horses in 5 freight trains couldn't drag me into that early grave. Well, I've cashed in the mistakes I've made while God rode shotgun from a million miles away. I don't wake in sorrow, I don't walk in shame, I don't deal in hearsay, I don't dwell in blame. Sometimes it's best to forget what I know and what they say. But this ain't that time, and this ain't that day. With the heart of a gypsy and the eyes of a child, I walk these fields and let my love run wild. Filled with the fever, I dare my desires. I don't fear the flame, I walk through the fire. I don't wake in sorrow, I don't walk in shame, I don't deal in hearsay, I don't dwell in blame. Sometimes it's best to forget what I know and what they say. But this ain't that time, and this ain't that day. I
I'll keep riding till the trail grows cold and the hillsides burn amber and smoke. The sheep and the shepherd are lost on different roads, blinded by hate, blinded by hope. I don't wake in sorrow, I don't walk in shame, I don't deal in hearsay, I don't dwell in blame. Sometimes it's best to forget what I know and what they say. But this ain't that time. No, this ain't that time. And this ain't that day.
Yeah. Nice. You know, Amber and Smoke, Bill Rotella and Amber Olive, I enjoyed watching the both of you, and Amber is dancing. I wish you could see this because it's
she's
a beautiful thing.
So much fun.
Yeah, she's having so much fun.
That's amazing.
And it reminded me of something that I read, and I had to go to your website to see, was it there? Where did I read it? And so VC Reporter wrote this: imagine Tina Turner fronts the Eagles. Good original songs. There's a definite buzz about Amber and Smoke. And I was thinking, well, Tina Turner, they're not just talking about the voice. They must have seen you dance too. More power to you. How did this happen? Yes. Oh, she smiled. You both smiled. Okay. All right. Can we tell the story?
Absolutely.
Actually, the cool thing about it is because we're in a good room to talk about, mm-hmm. you know,
life changes
and blessings. You know, blessings yes. that come and how things work. You know. Mm-hmm. But I had a really, really good brother, like a guitar player in my band for 27 years. And we were working, and he moved to Hawaii. And he said, you know, I'm moving to Hawaii. And I was going, okay, well, I'll start my solo stuff. I'll just keep doing that. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, I was playing a solo gig. Amber walks through and mm-hmm. with a friend of hers that says, hey, man, this girl can sing. You know, everyone says this girl can sing. It's like, yeah, okay, well, out there. So I kind of, I waited a little bit. I said, and I talked to her, and I said, I'm going to do the first set, and I'll talk to you in the break, see what I got we can do. But she's sitting there, and she's singing along while I'm playing. I'm going, she knows the words. And I go, I have a feeling. Mm. I called her up on Proud Mary. Talk about Tina Turner, right? Called up on Proud Mary. I just did this cover tune. I go, can you sing one? She walked up, and it was like a scene from a movie where people at the bar, all their heads just like snapped to the side. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
It was like, lift. And we were doing that thing.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started.
Let's
get her started.
we just went for a two-part harmony. I stopped. We do a cappella. I just stopped playing. We're just singing.
Man.
And I was going, dang, man. Girl's a real deal, you know?
Yeah.
So that was my...
girl can sing.
That was a good day. And we've been doing it for 2 years. It's been 2 years
now. Wow. This is still new. Well, you all are on a track. Amber and Smoke Music is the website, right? AmberandSmokeMusic.com. And there people can obviously get the CD. There are a couple. Actually, Bill, you've got your own CD.
Well, that's...
No, actually, that's both of you too, right?
Well, that's when I met her. I was... When she walked in, I was in the middle of that CD. And then I just heard her singing. I go, well, I think I'm going to write some songs for this girl.
That's
for
sure. Man. That's great. And then you decided to do a whole album. So the two of them. Okay. So people can find out about that. But you're actually performing all over your local a lot,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that you put that up all on the website? Okay. AmberandSmokeMusic.com. And then your music's also available wherever music is sold, right? iTunes, etc.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Pandora, Spotify, iTunes, the whole trip. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we do get to hear another one, right?
Yes.
Oh, actually, you know, so interestingly enough, I was going to mention that you play many different instruments, or at least a handful, and one of them is the guitar, the harmonica, the ukulele. Your dad played was it sax or was it clarinet?
Both woodwinds.
Woodwinds. Okay.
flute. All yeah. That, yeah.
So you also play many instruments, and so now, and then I look over, I'm like, oh, he brought a ukulele. Okay, so what song is this?
This is off the, this is a good story. This is off the, my first solo record, and I had just met Amber, and this song was going in a whole different direction until I heard her sing. So I kind of changed it around, and on the record, it's
song not, changes.
Song changes, yeah, right.
Life changes, song changes.
Yeah. And then
the instrument changed. I went from a I went from my Gretsch country gentleman to this little baby uke, you know. So now we do it as a, on the record it's done with a full band, but when we do it live we do it just like this.
Oh, it's so fun. This is the unplugged version. Yeah. You know, there's this, you said this is a good story, and I was thinking, you know, every song of yours had a good story.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know the backstory, but the story in the song, it felt like, you know, folk is not dead. It felt like we just need to tune in.
Yeah.
Stories are
lyrics,
being told.
Because in folk music, that's where, you know, lyrics are up front. You better have something to say in a folk song because you're naked, you know?
Yeah. So what is this one you're going to do?
This is called What I Feel For You.
Ooh, okay. Well, here are Bill Rotella and Amber Olive performing live at Studio NoHo here on the Life Changes Show, What I Feel For You as Amber and Smoke.
One thing I know, good love ain't easy to come by. I found you and I won't let go. I've been waiting for you all my life.
I was praying for a love to call my own. I'm so grateful for this feeling deep in my soul.
Nothing we can do, we're bound through and through. So glad you feel what I feel for you. This hold you have on me, baby, it's something I'll never let go of.
This hope that you give to me has filled my world with love. We're standing on this mountain high, sharing the song we sing. This time I'll hold on tight, because what we got is a real thing.
There's nothing we can do, we're bound through and through. So glad you feel what I feel for you. Baby, there's one thing I know, you came from the heavens above, and that sweet love you've given me, I can't get enough.
Keep on holding me and tell me that you're mine. In your arms is where I'll be when we make love every night.
There's nothing we can do, we're bound through and through. So glad you feel what I feel for you.
Amber, you can clap. we were all feeling it. Amber and Smoke are on fire. Thank you so much. Amber and Smoke, made up of Bill Rotella and Amber Olive. Go to amberandsmokemusic.com to find out more about them. And their CDs are available there and everywhere where music is sold. What a real pleasure. Thank you to your dad for bringing us together Keith.
I was going to say, Cleet Keith always giving a shout out on how amazing you sound.
As a matter of fact, a little story about Cleet, real brief. He wrote some songs with me for the first band we had, Baywood. Oh. So he's a songwriter. He's like behind the scenes.
Yeah, he's an everything writer. That's right.
He's got amazing. He's got two songs with me on the album.
Wow.
On that Riverbound album.
On this one?
Riverbound.
Really? Which ones? Which ones?
It's Been Too Long and Take Me Down.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll have to listen to them again, knowing that. And good on you all. Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I look forward to hearing more of Amber and Smoke. And what a real pleasure. And Andrew Newman, thank you so much. Looking forward to more about you and your books as well. So more power to all of you. Wow, what a show. That was our show. Hate to see it end, but I feel like it's just the beginning. And so with that, let's also thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making it sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.